You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
I mean, are you like Chris Cody? I'm looking in the other room and I'm trying to imagine who is like Chris Cody, where he feels pressure when the server is sort of hovering over him when he has to leave a tip. And I think it's a good move for servers to stick around and not leave, because the tip, I'm imagining, gets smaller if the server isn't watching, or can get smaller if the server's not watching. Chris, do you over tip when the server's watching?
I've never experienced them lingering with the old-fashioned sign the check.
Because
what I'm talking about specifically is these modern machines.
The screen where you flip it around?
Where it's like you come up, you give the card, and they do the whole transaction right in front of you. Where it's like card gets inserted.
And it's 18%, 20%, 22%, 25%.
If you're lucky. They start at 20, then it's like 23, 25, 20. It's like, then I feel like a jerk picking the lowest option. So that's the part where it's like, put your machine down and go
walk
do
away.
Something else. Come back for the machine in 30 seconds. I hate the pressure of, because I am a good tipper. Like the bottom for me is 20%. Yeah. So, but this has nothing to do with like how much I tip. It's just, I don't like the feeling. Just put the thing down and walk away and come back.
By the way, these modern machines have been around in Europe for like over 10 years. This is how the rest of the world's been doing, paying for a bill.
You don't have to tip over there.
Yeah, exactly. It's already included in their VAT. So,
the technology's been around.
I'm going to tell you this, Chris. That machine, the old-fashioned, I don't mind. But for some reason, like when I go to like, let's say a Starbucks or whatever, and they flip that screen around, that's when I feel like, because deep in my heart, I'm like, why am I tipping? I just got it here and I ordered and I picked it up.
I feel like a jerk in those spots, because at coffee shops, look, I'm not like, I don't generally tip 25% on those. Those, it's like, for me, dollar. You get a dollar.
Is that bad?
I feel like at a coffee shop, if I'm buying a $4 coffee, I'm going to add a dollar. Custom. I always do custom dollar. That's my move.
Custom dollar?
Because I don't want like 129, like 250, like I just custom dollar.
I just
extra.
Don't like the spin around and the spin back. It makes me uncomfortable.
What do you do with the old school receipts when they already have the gratuity added?
Oh, the auto gratuity.
The old like 7-party or more, you know, automatic percentage.
Or
added.
If you're on the beach where they do auto gratuity automatically, right? Or some places in Brickell as well.
No but, extra for me. There.
Roy, I'm gonna tell you, it depends. If I like the place, I'll leave extra and I'll like circle it to let them know, by the way, I'll circle the auto gratuity and then I'll leave extra. Let them know I saw it and I'm giving you extra because I like you, with the hopes of getting better service next time I come there. If it's like, I'm never coming back here again, I'm on vacation. Yeah, I just put a line and then I just sign it.
Don't round up to the nearest number on that
no
one.
Round.
I feel like that's more insulting. You're going to add 62 cents to this.
Zero roundies.
Big spender.
I have a thing I like. I keep the cent the same. If it is one of the old school ones where you're writing it in and it's like 65.82, I would never. There are people who add the like
18 cent. Or
18.
My dad does that.
I was going to say 22. So
round
thank you, Chris.
My dad
said that it's 00. I always keep the numbers in the cents.
This is the man keeping us down, because we're taking all of our time talking about tipping etiquette. Just pay the servers a minimum wage or a living wage.
Yeah, tipping.
What are we doing?
Why is it our responsibility?
They get paid below minimum wage. I don't know how many people know this. They get paid below minimum wage because the expectation is you'll make it up in tips, which is insane.
I was a server for several years, and I would get my actual paycheck, and it would be like on a good day, $3.52. Like, no, you're not making anything from that. One of the most traumatic serving experiences I ever had, I was working at this restaurant, and somebody left me a 72-cent tip. Hurt my feelings. It was a $73 bill. And this person, I kid you not, hold up. They needed a drink refill. So, Charlotte, I'm going to take your glass. They did the little shaky thing at me. But no, hold up. You want to save that gasp. To get my attention to do the shaky thing, I was taking another table's order. I was turned to the table. They're right here. And I kid you not, this man kicked me in the back of the leg.
No!
What? I turn around because I'm like, what's going on? He goes, and then he left me 72 cents on like an $80 meal. So please, for the love of God, tip your servers, because that happens so much. Not the kicking thing. That only happened to me once. Yeah. But you get stiffed so often, or like you'll just, like, you don't know what you did wrong. And I'm a great server. I have such great like energy, and people are like, oh my God, look at you. You're so cute. And I'm like, I'm saving up to make my dreams come true. And they're like, oh, what a
Lucy.
Angel.
Lucy, it was nothing you did wrong.
No,
it was nothing you did wrong. It is people who are miserable and take it out on other people. Did you get this fellow's name?
I did not. I was in shock when it happened, because you just don't expect...
Because if you had his name, we could light him up right now.
I wish I had
John Wiener.
I think that...
Greg Cody.
I think that this is... Lucy, I'm sorry, but I have a lot of questions here. A number of different questions. One of
is
them...
Is how old Lucy is or how much she weighs?
No, it was going to be how old you have to be to refer to someone in a rage as this fella. That's Charlotte specific. This fella.
I have probably never said that before in my life. I have no idea where that came from.
He deserved it.
This fella seems a little older than it should be. But the question.
He was young, by the way. He was not an old guy.
Guess her age and weight.
82 years old.
The questions I have. It's a reasonable question to ask how much Grammy weighs when she's sinking to the bottom of the sea.
It's not an unreasonable question.
To wonder how those guys, we still don't have the answer. The video's 2 years old. How those guys fished out a woman who was panicked, had to be panicked, and sinking to the bottom of the sea.
The Croatian Sea, which is salty, which means she is more buoyant, so the weight in the water isn't really even as much of a thing.
Run that video back, please. Let's eyeball this woman's weight, and Dan thinks she might be about 350 pounds, apparently.
I just want to know how they fished her out. We still don't have the answer.
They pulled her out.
Regardless, the questions I have about what we're asking are the following. One, somewhere along the line, the cash tip of $1 for me became insufficient for that.
The drinks, remember?
For, no, for any, rich. For valet. No, you guys tell me. Giving a dollar, you tell me whether you feel comfortable. Someone gets you your car, giving that person a single dollar? Does it feel like enough that somewhere along the line, a dollar became not a sufficient tip to give people on stuff like that? And I can't exactly trace when it is that happened. And the other thing that we still haven't answered, how many of you are shamed into a bigger tip because the server is standing right there over you? And I can imagine people getting shamed. It happens to me. If the server pulls the machine toward me, I'm hesitant to hit the lowest number. I'm hesitant to hit other. I would advise servers to hover among the meek and shame them into bigger tips. What is the pay for a server? You guys mentioned this. Is it $2 an hour or $2.07 an hour for what it is that a server makes below minimum wage? Because I think it's about $2 something.
It depends on what state you live in. Like, if you're in a state like California, you're going to make a much higher minimum wage. But in North Carolina, I was making like $1 an hour.
Jesus Christ.
I don't know what the number is. We can probably look it up, but I think it's almost always below minimum wage by several dollars.
Here we go. This is from the Bureau of the Department of Labor. Minimum wages for tipped employees. The federal basic minimum cash wage is $2.13.
Oh, my God.
The maximum tip credit against minimum wage is $5.12. The basic combined cash and tip minimum wage rate is $7.25.
Any of you shamed into bigger tips just because the server is hovering?
No. I usually give a pretty big tip, right, though. Yeah. So I'm the wrong person to ask. If you're if there's someone who's cheap and doesn't usually give a big tip, and they are meek, as you were saying, Dan, they perhaps would be shamed into it. I'm proudly a big tipper.
I always go $5 for a valet and $1 is for like at a coffee shop if I'm just buying like one little drink.
It's always 20% plus for me. It doesn't matter if they're there or not. What is that? What the hell is that?
Wait, do you pay $5 even if you have to pay for the valet? Or is that just when it's free valet?
I feel weird giving like a couple dollars to a valet.
Five sounds like too much, though.
Me and my dad have gotten into arguments because my dad thinks $2 or $3, and I'm always like, give five.
But I'm just saying, like, if you had to pay for the valet, it wasn't like
I get what you're
comp
saying.
Valet. You still I'm tip still $5?
Yeah, all right, let's figure this out. What is the going rate? Put it on the poll at Levitard Show. How much do you give the valet, $5 or $1? Because I feel like it should be in between there, but don't give that as one of the options.
I feel like a dollar isn't. I feel like $5 is the new $1 thanks to inflation.
Put that on the poll as well. Wow, you really amused.
Couldn't even get through that.
This fella really amused herself.
If you had this
good call on fella, Dan. That was f***ing weird, Char.
I don't know where it came. I've literally never said that before in my life.
Joe Biden impression.
It wasn't fellow.
No.
Fellow.
But it felt like the person in my mind, the guy who kicked Lucy looked like someone who would call other people fellas. So I did it to him before he could do it to me.
He sounds like someone who's some folks across the aisle. That's what it sounds like. Some folks across the aisle. When we say fellas and folks across the aisle, they're the same people.
No, he was a very young, like...
Really?
Yeah, he was
a young douchebag.
Really?
Bag.
Yes.
A young whippersnapper.
Then I would have called him much worse than a fella.
Douche.
I mean, what is the correct amount to give the valet?
If I'm paying for valet, I'm not tipping more than a couple bucks. Like, I feel like that, like, rightly or wrongly, I just feel like, and it's not like being a server where you smell like food and stuff.
Well,
you're just driving nice cars all day.
I want to ask you guys how much this has changed, because I really do feel very often like I'm one of the few people on earth wandering around with cash anymore. But when I was in Vegas, I told you this. I'm like, the baggage handlers and the valets must have had crushing dents in their income because people move to electronic. Do you guys, as people who don't use cash very much, do you insist every time on getting the Venmo or the Zelle of the valet so that you can then tip them? Do you ever get in your car, drive away, pretending like you will, and then don't do it?
No. I think if you're working in that kind of industry, you need to have like the barcode on your person, like a necklace with the barcode. You're just hurting your own bank account if you're doing that type of work and don't have a barcode. You should be like ready to any person that's like, oh, you're not to just. I would just be flashing it like, yeah, anyone? No, no.
I do it right in front of them so they know that I did it. Especially if it's a bartender. Oh yeah, and I'll show them how much I tipped them.
Amin circles the tip on a written thing and holds his phone in their face if it's digital.
He writes, "You're welcome" at the bottom.
It's always awkward when you have to like ask someone, like, "What's your Zelle? What's your?" And then like all of a sudden you're exchanging phone numbers with someone just because I want to give them $3.
Barcodes. It's all barcodes.
I'm saying if they don't have the barcode, you have to like then, "What's your phone number? Your Zelle? What's your PayPal?" Okay, and I'm handing them my phone. They're typing in numbers. It's just awkward.
Stugatz definitely gets in the car and forgets the number forever.
Sure.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text THIN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text THIN to 200-300. That's THIN to 200-300. THIN to 200-300.
Don Levitard.
Punctuate this segment with what is your strike three call.
Well, strike one would be strike, and then you stand up and you give a good point to the right.
Stugatz.
That's same for strike two. Okay. But strike three, you get down low. You got your hands behind the catcher. All right. The right arm goes up into the air. Yeah. And then you finish it with the punch. Oh, the right arm flings way up into the air. Yeah. Yeah.
I wish I could see that. It's terrible.
The audio's great.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
We failed last time with Stan to get him to jovially laugh enough, so I am putting pressure on the shipping container. We have to get this man to laugh. I miss his weekly laughter around here. Before you came on, we were talking about tipping, the correct way to tip. You strike me as someone who still, like me, carries cash and is offended when you walk into a coffee shop and they will not take your God-given, hard-earned American cash in this country. How do you tip when a tipper or a server is hovering over you? And do you feel pressure to tip more when a server is hovering over you with one of the machines? Do you tip in cash? How much do you tip valets? Take us through the tipping etiquette of Stan Van Gundy.
Well, I'll try to tip in cash, but I'm unfortunately becoming like a lot of people, Dan. I don't always have, well, especially I don't have smaller bills with me. A lot of times all I've got is 50s and things like that. And if my, you know, if my driver's taking me on a 10-minute drive from the airport to the hotel, like a bit much.
You think it's look at me, Louie, to say I only carry 50s?
50s, my driver.
Yes, it is a position of wealth. 50s.
Yeah, well, I'm not arguing that. I'm not arguing. I've said many times that I am the poster boy for white privilege, so I'm not arguing any of that.
All right, put it on the poll, Juju, please. Is Stan Van Gundy the poster boy for white privilege? Is $1 sufficient anymore to give to a valet as a tip?
Are you kidding me? Well, that sounds like a Stugatz question, not a Dan Levitard question.
I'm trying to be an everyman.
No.
This isn't me.
No. Listen, you can't tip a valet less than $5.
That's what I'm saying. Stan, would you agree that $5 is the new $1?
Yes.
Thank you.
At least as far as that goes. Yeah, absolutely. That's the minimum. You've got to tip a valet. Yeah, absolutely.
Do you tip when you have a to-go order? Do you tip when you go pick up a coffee?
Yes. I tip all the time. I mean, I tip in almost every situation. Look, I'm really, you know, all seriousness, I'm really lucky, really fortunate. And so, yeah, I'm going to tip and tip well.
Stan,
every chance I get.
You also know a thing about tip offs, am I right?
Oh, for the love of God.
Send her.
I mean, get out of here.
What?
Get out of here.
Transition. Come on.
You said make him laugh.
Get out of here. I mean, I did say that. You know what? You know what?
He's laughing.
I'm going to go.
I did laugh.
Where are you going?
You don't have to go.
Where are you going?
No, no, that's the rules.
Yeah, he's out of here. Get out of here.
That's how it goes.
That's all right. It's just me and you, Amin.
There you go. That's my old coach got me ready for an American Ninja Warrior. Stan,
there you go.
Stan, we were having a conversation. I know Dan would love to ask you this question, but the concept of you have to have playoff pain in order to have playoff success. And with regards to the Thunder and the Timberwolves being relatively young teams. Now, I told Dan the Timberwolves have had playoff pain, both as the Timberwolves in recent years, last couple of years, and also individually when you talk about Mike Conley, when you talk about Kyle Anderson, Rudy Gobert, they've all been in the playoffs, deep in the playoffs, and had that heartbreak. Is that a prereq, though, to have gone through the heartbreak together in order for it to count?
Yeah, you know, I don't really think it is. But it usually happens that way. I mean, you know that because what happens is that normally is part of your progression is when you first start in the playoff run, you're just not good enough. And so, you know, you lose somewhere along the road and then you get better and hopefully go a little further. And that's part of the progression. I just think that's all part of getting better. Look, with Minnesota, they've got plenty of experience, like you said, with Gobert and Conley. Carl Anthony Towns has been there. Like they're fine as far as experience. And with Oklahoma City, the only thing that identifies them as a young team is their birth certificates. Like all the things that we look at, I mean, that you would say, yeah, that's what a young team does. You know, they turn the ball over a lot. Well, not this team.
Right.
You know, well, they take a lot of bad shots. Not this team. They're one of the highest efficiency teams in the league. Well, young teams don't really defend. Well, not this team. They defend very, very well. Well, they're not poised. This may be the most poised team in the league under adversity in games and things. So nothing that you see on them on the court, you could sit and say, well, that's what young teams do. I mean, nothing. There's just nothing that identifies them as young, again, other than their chronological age. So I think they're not getting enough respect from people. They've got a chance, along with Boston, to be the 25th and 26th teams in the last 28 years since NBA.com's had it on their ratings to be in the top five in both offensive and defensive efficiency in the same year, less than one team a year. Like, come on. I mean, this is a great basketball team, and I don't hear them talked about enough. People talk about Denver, deservedly so, and then the Clippers, Phoenix, and even New Orleans ahead of Oklahoma City and Minnesota. It doesn't make any sense to me.
It does from this perspective, though, Stan. All the time we do the analysis of, I haven't seen them do it, therefore they can't do it. We did it to Denver last year, and we were talking before you came on, and I know he set it up this way, that not since the early 80s, if OKC wins it, will a team like that have won it, where you're not used to seeing them lose for a little bit beforehand. You just never go from what OKC has been this season immediately to winning the championship when that's not how we were discussing you before the season.
Yeah, and I get that, but I don't think we have precedent for teams like this. Normally, what you will have seen is the first time they get in the playoffs, they're a lower seed and playing on the road. And then maybe they're at home for the first round and then on the road. This team could be the number one seed. This team could be playing at home all the way. Like, where's the precedent for that? You know, we don't have that precedent. So this team has made a huge jump. They're one of the best teams in the league. You know, I get it. And I'm not going to say that's the team you've got to bet on, because I think them, Denver, Clippers, Minnesota, if they can get healthy again, you know, all have great shots. But, you know, to think that I had somebody tell me that Oklahoma City in the first round would be an underdog against the Lakers or the Warriors. Like, I don't buy that. You got to be kidding me. Like, those two teams aren't close to Oklahoma City in terms of talent. Yeah, they've got an experience edge, but the talent is just, there's a huge discrepancy.
Stan, Stan and Dan, run.
I'll ask the question. So when you've got Oklahoma City and the Lakers, and someone like Amin was telling me earlier this season, Stan, I'm like, hey, Golden State's done. This is all over. The young people are taking over. People are holding on to their memories with Golden State and the Lakers, but they're not paying attention to what's happening this year. You say what to the tide has turned? The old people are going to get out of here. The young people are going to get them out of here this year.
Yeah, I mean, I will say this. There isn't a single series in the West that I would call a major upset, no matter what happens, because you do have teams like the Warriors with, you know, they're going to line up Steph Curry on one side, and the Lakers are going to have Anthony Davis and LeBron James. There's nothing I would call a major upset in the West, but to think that those teams would be favored over Oklahoma City just doesn't make any sense to me, and they won't be. The sports books, I'm sure, will not favor them over Oklahoma City.
Stan, is the league throttling scoring?
Well, the scoring's going down and pretty significantly right now. I mean, you know, over the last month or two, I mean, you start looking at the scores every night, you're seeing multiple teams every night under 100. Everything score unless you get to play against Dallas, scores are going down.
Do you believe it's a refereeing conspiracy to keep the scoring down? What do you believe is happening there?
No, I think what's happening is we're almost seeing what we see in the playoffs. We've got so many close races for playoff seeding and everything. The games are taking on a real sense of urgency right now, which I think is good. Teams are playing harder. The defense is better. The pace is slowing down like it does in the playoffs. No, I don't think the refereeing has anything to do with it whatsoever.
Let's play for Amin and Stan the video of Stan coaching Amin for what remains the single most viewed clip in the history of American Ninja Warrior. This is some of the finest acting I've ever seen, not just among thespians, but at ESPN and beyond. I believe that all of this acting, Stan Van Gundy teaching Amin how to get ready for American Ninja Warrior, some of the best thespian work that has been done anywhere. Unfortunately, we don't have audio to this. We only have B-roll, which sort of, some of the drama is lost in this, but you can just see through the acting here, the two of them together, Amin and Stan preparing for American Ninja Warrior.
This is good.
Well, and to give Amin even a little more credit there, he was not only the lead actor, he was also the director.
This is great fun because I knew Stan, we'd done work together, but I didn't know Stan well enough. I said, is he going to reject this idea? Like, this is ridiculous. You know who I am. I'm Stan goddamn Van Gundy. But he went along with it. You were a great sport, and it was such a fun day of recording.
Jessica has a question, though. Yeah.
Are you contractually obligated to bring up America Ninja Warrior every time you come on the Dan Le Batard show?
Let me tell you something, Jessica. If you're part of something as successful as I was, you'd bring it up every single time.
Wow, there you go.
Well,
there you go.
It was what was sort of successful in its failure.
Right. And
but I mean, it was a success, though.
Yeah.
That's the first word.
No, exactly.
Yep.
It all depends on how we measure success in a lot of different ways.
Amen.
But usually not with failure.
Which is why Amin is so special.
I feel like of all the different ways we measure success, it's almost never measuring success by stacking a mountain of failures on top of each other.
It's a solid point, but
proof is in the pudding, Dano.
Don Le Batard.
Mustard mixes with mayonnaise better than ketchup does.
What?
Yes.
No.
What you've just said is appalling. What you've just said is an offense to anyone who's ever eaten.
Stugatz.
Ketchup. Oh, my God. I don't like it on anything, but...
What?
Ketchup?
Yeah. You're un-American!
This is the Don Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
Where are you, Stan?
I'm in Oklahoma City.
Ouch.
Oh, he's about to
in a good hotel, though.
He's about to watch some great great
very nice
court.
Hotel here. Is it one of the best in the league now?
My friend lived there and she said it wasn't that bad.
Is it the haunted one? You're not at the haunted one, are you?
That's no, cool. That's what I'm saying. They built a new one. I mean, they built an Omni right across from the arena. And it's beautiful. It's got three really nice restaurants in it. I mean, a nice park right next. I mean, it's really, really nice.
How far from the arena?
It literally right across the street.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, no, it's great. This is the best setup in the league.
I thought the Haunted Hotel was in Milwaukee.
Milwaukee's one of them.
Well, Milwaukee's got one.
I also
one,
thought
yeah.
it was multiple. In San Diego.
Yes.
Hotel Del?
Coronado.
Coronado. Yeah.
We stayed at there for training camp.
There you go.
And the players were scared.
Well, you can ask Patrick Ewing. He'll give you the whole list of haunted hotels. And he honestly believed every one of them.
We had players.
Patrick Ewing, right?
Yeah, we used to walk by his room and, you know, make ghost sounds and stuff on the road.
Stan is joining us from a haunted or near a haunted hotel in Oklahoma City. He's not staying at the haunted one. He's staying across the street. Let's just play, please, the video and audio. Stan, I need you to lay out here and be quiet for a second so that you don't interrupt the coaching of Amin El-Hassan before American Ninja Warrior.
Do it.
And help with my diet.
No! We talked about this! This event's all about toughness! Nobody tough eats a kale salad!
You want the impossible!
I just want you to win!
Ready?
Go!
To work me out.
Oh, now we're talking.
Yeah, he's top-notch. He's one of the most famous, he's the most highly paid coaches in the world, and he agreed to do it for me. Gratis, so, you know, I got to save money on the side as well.
I mean, you're going to have to pay him in Diet Pepsi at least.
Good job. Nope, that one's going to cost you.
Ass on.
No, that's great, man.
Just tremendous acting all around.
Ass on.
Wow.
No way. Jessica, you're being disrespectful. Be respectful.
You can catch Stan Van Gundy on everything that the Thursday night TNT and TBS basketball crews are doing because they cover basketball as well as anybody has ever covered basketball. Our thanks to Stan Van Gundy for joining us. Before I get back to some basketball questions with you, though, because we like to dabble in some politics with you, I'm just curious what you make of all of the latest surrounding the fringe candidate, Robert Kennedy, and the idea that he would have Jesse Ventura or Aaron Rodgers very high up on his list of vice presidential candidates.
Well, I just think it really emphasizes what a clown Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has become. I mean, this guy was one of the preeminent environmental lawyers in the country doing some good work, and then he went off the rails as an anti-vax person, and not just anti-COVID vaccinations. I mean, you know, this is one of the idiots who spreads misinformation about vaccinations everywhere. His entire family has disavowed him as a political candidate. He's an embarrassment to an iconic political family, albeit with their own, you know, they have a lot of problems throughout the family on some personal things, but an iconic political family who all just want us to ignore this guy. I mean, this is a joke. I mean, you know, at least Jesse Ventura has some political background, I guess, but look, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. knows damn well he's not going to be president. He's just trying to gain attention. And certainly this is the way that he can get some attention, saying he's going to have a guy like Aaron Rodgers as a VP. So he got attention.
What precedent do you have for what has happened with the public persona of Aaron Rodgers, where you go from State Farm insurance agent to the kind of internet brain rot that changes the way that a whole lot of people think about you?
Yeah, I you know what? It's just so interesting. I think that these people, you know, this is, you know, where his connection with RFK Jr. is. Some of these anti-vax people. Look, I think there were legitimate issues on making the COVID vaccination mandatory, things like that. But then some of these clowns have just taken it so ridiculously far that, you know, Dan, in Florida, we're trying to bring back measles. You know, we're trying to bring back measles. Like, you know, kids, you know, everybody was vaccinated. and all of that. Now we got people that don't want to vaccinate their kids. Most people took it as fact that measles had been eradicated. As one columnist in the Orlando paper said, Florida took that as a challenge. You know, and so it's people like this who, you know, are spreading misinformation, have no regard for science, and they can find people out there and get people to believe them. The ignorance of a lot of people in our country is astounding, and it's led us to where we are now.
What is your greatest daily frustration on this front, where you throw your hands up because you are somebody who has tried to advocate for equality and decency? Like, what is the single most consistent thing that's going to send you boiling over, you know, talking to your loved ones about, can you believe this again?
Yeah, it's every day. It's something. But I think it's the overall ignorance of so many people. Like, we've always had fringe people out there. We always have. You know, they're there, but they couldn't command 35, 40% of the population to believe them when they're spreading blatant lies. Now you can. I mean, John Stockton is now suing because somebody wouldn't let him spread COVID misinformation. I mean, there's mind-boggling stuff going on where we used to argue about solutions. We used to argue about policy. It doesn't seem to me that even into my 30s and stuff that we were arguing about facts. Now we argue about facts. People don't believe science. They don't believe blatant facts. I mean, it's astounding.
Who is the athlete or celebrity that your viewpoint has changed so much because, whether it be John Stockton or someone else, you can no longer separate message from messenger?
Now, I can still separate it with all of them, to be quite honest. I mean, I have incredible respect for John Stockton as a player. I've got great respect for Aaron Rodgers as an athlete. No, I can separate it. We probably make the mistake in not separating it with things. I mean, you can look and say, you know, John Stockton is one of the greatest point guards of all time. Aaron Rodgers, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. But I think their political views are clownish. You know, we should be able to do that. It shouldn't be, wow, Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback. Yeah, I'd love to have him as a vice president. I mean, come on. In Georgia, they ran Herschel Walker for Senate, the United States Senate. And people, there was a large part of the population there voting for him, even after they listened to this guy. I mean, like, you can say the guy was a great running back. You can even say the guy was a great role model. But these ideas are buffoonish. You know, I don't understand why we can't make that distinction. I really don't.
Coach, how do we fix it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think it's up to us. I have said for years, we get the leaders that we deserve. Like, if we don't want to take the time to learn things, if we don't want to hold the people on our side of the ideological divide accountable, if we are just going to be ignorant followers of total lies and deception, then we deserve what we get. So the solution is for more people to wake the hell up, but I don't know if that's going to happen or not.
Let's segue effortlessly back into Bucks basketball.
Nice.
And ask Stan Van Gundy the question, is this Bucks team in any way, the roster, better than the one from 2 years ago?
Well, the only way they're better, in my opinion, is they've got a huge weapon now at the end of games, at the end of close games. I mean, Damian Lillard has not had a great year by Damian Lillard's standards, but he's still one of the scariest guys coming down the stretch of a close game as there is in this league. And with Chris Middleton's decline, because Chris Middleton, not Giannis, was their go-to guy at the end of close games in that championship run. He's not the same guy. Now they have that guy. So they are better in that sense. You know, but defensively, they've taken a major step back. That's one of the worst defensive backcourts in this entire league, with T and Beasley. It'll be interesting, but they've got a great player in Giannis and a great closer in Damian Lillard. I mean, I think they're a threat to everybody except Boston in the East.
You can't win playing that defense, can you? There's no precedent for actually winning everything playing the defense that Milwaukee plays, is there?
Well, they've gotten better now. I mean, for all the people that, you know, wanted to discredit Doc and everything else, they've gotten better defensively. I mean, they're a middle of the pack, even a little bit better defense since he's been there. That'll play if they can do that. I think that was built on the back of some dominating performances against some really bad teams. So, you know, we'll see what happens. Look, I, in the East, to me, something major would have to happen, an injury or, you know, something absolutely crazy for anybody other than Boston to not come out of the East. There's no one close to them. I'm not sure there's anyone close to them in the league, maybe Denver or Oklahoma City, but in the East, there's no one close. If Boston doesn't win the East, that I would be shocked with. I said nothing in the West, no series in the West would shock me. Anybody beating Boston in the East would absolutely shock me.
Just to answer Dan's question quickly, the Milwaukee Bucks are middle of the road. They're 16th defensively. The Lakers, in their second championship of that three-peat, they were the 21st defense in the league. So, but that was a case where we knew this was a great team and they just took their foot off the gas for the regular season.
That's exactly right. I mean, because they had been, I believe, first defensively the year before that, the Lakers, and then were very good the year after, and they played great defense in the playoffs. Now, with Milwaukee, it's a little different because different coach, different team, not a lot of continuity. But for Giannis and Chris Middleton, Lopez, Portis, Connaughton, those guys have been together on a very good defensive team. So they do have an idea what it takes. They certainly, Damian Lillard has never been part of a decent defensive team. I don't know that he has any idea what it takes or that he's even capable of being a really good defender.
Stan, we're going to let you go, but not without showing you what your coaching produced at American Ninja Warrior. Go ahead.
Dan Le Batard was actually offering encouragement.
Right. He better get further.
Explosive on the
So successful.
Most watched clip in history.
Great success.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.